Well, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, if you will step into my chamber here,
ooh,
you'll notice that I am committing the sin of onanism.
Oh, no. That's what that sound was.
Yeah, onanism, when you take after Onesimus and you act as a slave and throw daggers.
Oh, okay. Wow, what was that squelching kind of sound?
I keep telling people that I'm committing onanism if they want to come over, mm-hmm, and stuff, and they're just like, I don't want to come over. And I don't get it, because everybody loves daggers.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the Bible. Mm-hmm. And everybody loves slaves. I don't know. But it
took
nobody
a, took
wants
a left
to come
turn
my,
there.
My own onanism,
yeah,
parties.
Well, no, I thought that onanism was when you drink a bunch of wine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, that, then you, I think people would be more likely to come to my parties.
Yeah.
So anyway, so here, so I'll put that party aside real quick, and then okay, I'm going to go over here to the corner real quick and J.O.
Okay.
And let's see what game comes out.
All right. Oh, no. Look at it go.
Yeah.
It's like a big bubble coming out. Like it's a balloon. It's like written on it in screen printing or something. Gary, keep going. Keep going.
You don't have to tell me twice. All right.
Oh, wow. How apropos. It's Onesimus.
Yeah, here we go.
Quest for freedom.
I don't take joy in orgasms anymore.
Time you come, a horror is brought forth upon the earth.
Yep.
You unleash cum 10 demons.
10 billion horrors.
Oh, man.
There are more horrors than a single drop of my onanism.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, that's...
I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is Abject Suffering, the show where we play games from the MS-DOS archive.
Yep. Boy, oh boy, did we open up an onslaught, Gary.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. They're easy to play.
Yeah.
Like, they're easy to get, you know, you just run them in your browser.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly stuff I haven't heard of, other than this. Like, I have heard of this, actually, but, like, it's mostly stuff I haven't heard of, which is great.
Yeah. So, Onesimus, why are you doing this to us, was recommended / foisted upon us by Superboy Allen.
Yeah. Hey, Superboy.
Yeah.
So, Onesimus is weird.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a really weird game, and the reason it's weird... is that it is like this weird cash-in project where this guy, this arcade software development company
with a K.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He went, had this religious epiphany, after going to Africa and started trying to make religious video games and then just bought the license to popular PC games and kind of fucked with them.
Yeah. Reskinned them. While.
Yeah. So this is actually, Jill of the Jungle, but except you play as, Onesimus.
Yeah. So I looked at the credits and boy, oh boy, there's plenty to be mined from mm-hmm, the extra materials, on that, including, a couple of extra games that I want to go into a little bit later. But, I was like, okay, lead designer, looking for another crick, right? So I was like,
yeah.
Tim Sweeney. Why does that sound familiar? Tim Sweeney. That's a name that I've heard. Oh, that's the guy who founded Unreal, founded Epic Mega Games.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's the same
guy.
No,
he's the Jill of the Jungle guy. He's not the guy who bought this and reskinned it.
Right. So I was thinking, like, that's crazy that, like, he wanted to reskin this as, like, a part of his Christian, like, side mission or whatever. So that's weird that he is still credited as lead designer.
But,
programmer, even though he did make the actual game that, you know, this is pinned to.
Yeah, he's just not the lead graphics artist.
Right, who is the person I should have looked at.
Yeah, who doesn't have a Wikipedia, so mm-hmm, what are we going to do?
What's his name?
I'm trying to remember. Like, it's in a video. This guy, Lazy Game Reviews on YouTube, who I recommend, mm-hmm, did a video on this game.
Yeah.
And he mentioned it, but I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Jill of the Jungle, like a, you know, a shareware classic.
Yeah, Jill of the Jungle is really well thought of. They don't stand up. Like,
right.
I don't think those games are very fun to play today. Mm-hmm. But this is worse than it, because it is like Jill of the Jungle with unskippable, like 20-second long Bible verses at seemingly random intervals.
Yes, from the book of Philemon.
Yeah, it's a very, like, it's not like, you know, a Bible greatest hits.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a Bible deep cut.
Yeah, this is B-sides and rarities.
Yeah. Yeah, the Dead Letter Office of the Bible. Like, I'd never, before I heard of this game, I had never heard of Onesimus, and I've read the Bible before. Mm-hmm. I just don't remember it, because who gives a shit?
Right.
Onesimus.
He's a footnote, and it's a fucked up story.
Yeah.
Which this game kind of takes and adapts and makes its own, but it adds apples and daggers to it because it's Jill of the Jungle.
It also, like, in a weird, like, non-video game way, if you beat this game, and you eventually get to the end and run into, I think it's Paul.
Yeah, Paul the Apostle.
He tells you, like, he's like, you're like, I want to be a Christian. He's like, cool, anybody can be a Christian. Now, you're actually still technically a slave, though. Go back to being a slave.
Yep.
That's the ending of this game.
that's the ending of the story. Where Onesimus pops up in the Bible is in the epistolaries, where Paul the Apostle wrote back to Philemon and said, you know,
Gotta catch them all, Philemon.
I'm positive that there's some kind of Christian Pokemon equivalent. Go, Hezekiahzite!
Yeah. Oh, no, I begat a Pichu.
Samsmon, go! Yeah. Use your hair attack.
Never cut off Jinx's hair. Mostly because it's just a skull under there, and the hair just grows directly out of it.
Ugh.
So
her hair is just cracks. A bunch of parasites that like ticks. They, yeah. they burrow into the skull for delicious bone nutrients.
And just drink the milk of its bone.
Yeah, and the hair is just the waste, like a spider silk that comes out the back of it. Yeah. Hey, I bet you'll never think of hair the same way again.
Yeah, goldfish turd.
But yeah, that's where Onesimus shows up, and Onesimus was sainted, actually, kind of along with Philemon and Paul. But Paul was like, yeah, you know what? I got the slave. He's totally down with the G's. But I'm sending him back. You know, you can totally accept him back as your slave, but I encourage you to accept him back as your brother, which
isn't really said in the game though.
Right.
The game ends with him saying, go back and be a slave. And it should be noted that the subtitle for this game is A Quest for Freedom.
Yeah.
Which ends with you just going back into slavery if you succeed at it. Like, what a bummer.
Well, you know, he got a taste of what life was like outside of it, and he realized, you know, how well off he was being taken care of.
Yeah, I guess, you know, three squares.
Three hots and a cot, my friend.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Yeah. But
you're on Abject Suffering, where we say slavery is not so bad. Because that's the kind of opinions we want to get.
Yeah.
Get with on here.
Yeah, the new essay thread highlights with us talking about how baby as kids will be the flashpoint for a race war.
Yeah. Yep. It makes us come off worse than we are.
Yep. Oh, well. But yeah. So the story of Philemon, crazy, crazy fucked up. And there's a whole Wikipedia article about the complicated relationship between Christianity and slavery.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. Like most Western culture, it was pro-slavery until it was against it.
Yeah. In retrospect, it does seem like something that you should not really have a complicated relationship with.
Yes.
There are certain things that like just aren't like torture. Mm-hmm. Not like torture is that complicated.
Yeah.
I just don't torture people.
Mm-hmm.
Seems easy enough to me. Like, I just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, kind of seems like the Jewish people had it right. You know, let my people go. Like yeah. Why? How did we backslide on that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's lots of ways that in which we have backslid. Yeah. The cover for Onesimus has a bunch of like just assets on the front, and then one very cute frog in the lower left who's pissed. Like it's like Onesimus crawling out of like crawling over a cliff. He looks real badass. And it's like, all right, Onesimus. And then there's a key and a bird and an apple and a dagger and a torch. All these things are symbolic. And then like a disappointed, you know, vice principal of Frogworth Academy, like in the lower left.
Oh, vice principal Croakingworth.
Yeah. You may think that might fly on another lily pad, but not yet, Croaksworth.
Alpha Omega House, come back here and get a tongue lashing.
Enough of you drinking your bud. Why, sir?
Oh man, I am hopping mad.
Yeah, I want to get those guys back. Those Budweiser dudes. Was there? It's weird. There's never a game with the Budweiser frogs. There has to be like a Flash game.
You know, I would actually pin that to like a Chex Quest style style thing, you know, that they would like would really get in trouble with.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cause like, you can't encourage kids to
exactly.
drink. But why, sir? I would do like a rhythm game, like AOL kid, you know, keyword, AOL kid words.
Kid words. Yeah. From the kids zone.
Just drink your daddy pop.
Drink your daddy.
Look at the fun cartoon frogs.
One of my earliest memories of the internet had to do with an AOL keyword because we were an AOL household for a good long time. Going to the kids zone and hanging out in the Nickelodeon chat rooms and having my parents explain to me in very simple and not horrifying terms why it was not a good idea for me to have an email conversation with a stranger about the X-Men cartoon. Because I like the X-Men cartoon. He likes the X-Men cartoon. This is called Kids Only, so...
Yeah, so you gotta present some kid ID.
Yeah.
Before you log into this website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just going to take us on a quick diversion here. I'm looking. I was looking at the Onesimus cover on Google Images, and I scrolled down to what appears to be some kind of DOS-based Amiga kind of surgeon simulator, where somebody is quite obviously working on a testicle, performing some kind of. oh, it's an aneurysm surgery. I thought it was a vasectomy.
I'm on my way. that does look
it's crimping the hose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does look a little testy. With like a very long scrotum. Like if you just had a scrotum that hung like a sock.
Like a wind sleeve.
That's what this looks like.
Yeah, it's like a over the hill birthday card you would get from Spencer's. Yeah, do your balls hang low? Do they wobble to and fro?
Yeah.
Can you put them in your sock? Do they touch down to your toes?
Like what a weird thing. Like all these kids just like, hey grandpa, are your balls hanging really low? Like like here's a playful greeting card about your testicles, grandfather.
Yes, grandfather who has provided wisdom and taught me how to use a knife.
Yeah, here's some respect for you. A joke about your defunct testicles. Yeah. Sack,
yeah. Oh man, things don't always get better.
Yeah, poor grandpas.
Oh well.
The game when they reskin this. To Jill of the Jungle, they didn't redo the voices.
Nope.
So you make really girly screams, which is kind of funny, but the best part is when you get a key.
Uh-huh.
And you go like, yeah!
Yeah!
It's very it would be funny even if it was Jill of the Jungle, but it's very funny coming out of Onesimus.
Yeah. Which is, like, everything in this game is, like, crazy anachronistic. You've got switches and elevators. It's like the steampunk Bible, which I'm sure exists.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do you one better and say there's probably the anime steampunk Bible.
I've seen the manga Bible. I had to look at that for a Bible in modern literature class.
Yeah. I did a paper, a research paper, and sourced that.
Ugh.
Or sourced something that sourced it.
Okay.
Never mind. The steampunk Bible, I just searched the anime steampunk Bible, and one of the first Google image search things that pops up is the frog, the essay Zyborn Clock, series of images where they're the one where it's like the person just filled with steam,
uh-huh.
Like it's just a person filled with cogs and steam. It's just a frog. It's the same thing that makes this book like the most annoying.
What's with frogs in the Bible?
I don't know. Well, they rain.
Well, yeah.
There. It's what they have instead of water, Cole.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that. So in 1942, we got penicillin, and we also figured out a way to convert all of the water in the world from frogs back to water.
Yeah, you don't have to just sip on a common drinking frog.
Yeah, some kind of like crazy fantasy world where frogs are canteens, like living water sacks.
It's a living. That's gross.
Yeah, just getting some good frog squeezings.
If there's ever an earthquake,
yeah, put out.
And you're looking for water. Check your spare frogs. There might be some water in their cheeks.
Yep, it'll put out the fire.
It's like how you're supposed to check your toilet tank for clean water in an earthquake.
Yeah, unless somebody's upper deckered you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I dropped my phone in the toilet.
Oh no, Gary.
Yeah, it's fine though.
Huh?
It survived. Because I've got a fancy case that. that came with my phone.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was a real, like, it was one of those moments, like, so I've never done it before. Mm-hmm. And I dropped it and then reached up to grab it and just ended up like flipping it into the toilet. And then I did an audible like, yeah, and then jammed my hand in to grab it with no second thought about the fact that it was a toilet. Uh-huh. And it was a, you know, it was a clean bird. Like, it wasn't like I just, you know, it wasn't contemporaneous.
Right.
Pee.
Yeah.
But it was a real, like, you know, my life flashed before my eyes kind of moment.
That'd be super inconvenient.
Yeah. It'd be very inconvenient. And like, I don't want to deal with that.
Uh-huh.
I've just never done it. Everyone I know, like, does it. Like, my buddy Austin has done it like 10 times, I feel like.
Oh,
like, he's
wow.
constantly dropping his phone in the toilet.
Damn.
Yeah. But I had a moment when that happened where I was thinking about your no phone in the bathroom rule and just being like this little vision of you like gloating on my shoulder, just like, ah!
I wouldn't gloat. That's terrible. No, I can only imagine the stress.
No, I know you wouldn't, but I in my mind, the demon version of you on my shoulder is like, ah,
yes.
And this is why you don't put your phone in the toilet.
Yes, yes. All of that joy I've denied myself of browsing the SA forums on the toilet, that outweighs you possibly having to replace a phone.
Yeah, just once. And now I'll tell you one thing, I won't ever do it again. I've learned my lesson. Don't drop your phone in the toilet.
Oh, yeah, man.
If you're considering it.
We would strongly urge you away from it, you know.
Yeah.
Curiosity will get the best of you, and I'm not going to take away anybody's right to experiment, but
yeah, if you are feeling curious, dip a corner and see if you like it.
Yeah.
Not a corner with any stuff on it. Hey. Like, yeah.
you know not in for a penny, in for a pound, right? You know, you can back out.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not like the mafia,
right? You know, where you're in for life. Cosa Nostra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So did you ever figure out what you had to do with those multimedia signs that were kind of like flapping like flags in the wind, like to like ball sacks in the wind in secret areas?
No.
Yeah. You would go through them and it would do like a flashy Amiga DOS style 3D effect, and that would just kind of go away. So I was hoping I was going to get some sweet FMV of a Bible story. But
oh, yeah. This is pre FMV.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. I got kind of far in this game for an Abject Suffering game because it's, you know, like, it's not great, but Jill of the Jungle is functional.
Right.
Like, it's a functional DOS platformer. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, it's playable.
Right.
It's just kind of annoying. There's like the weird part with the switches with the guy, the switch of armor.
Yeah, that's where I got stopped.
Oh, okay. Like, you just have to set them not to stab you. Like, it's literally just switch them so they don't point their sword at you and they just walk past them. Yeah. It's not a puzzle or anything. It's just like these things have a stab and a not stab setting, and the switch is on the same side that you're coming in from.
Okay. If you're thinking about dropping your phone in the toilet or walking into a statue set to stab, we're going to have to ask you to not do that. It's going to be in your best interest.
Just stab a corner and see if you like it.
Yep.
That was, and I got past that because it has this overland map similar to like Commander Keen, mm-hmm. Where you go to different villages. I got to this underground level where you start fighting slugs, which was a real weird Bible thing. And but they're immune to your dagger, so I was like, this is frustrating and stupid. And I stopped.
And lo, the slugs did crawlest from the earth and hearken themselves unto the dagger and say, "The Lord shall protecteth me."
Yeah.
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 King James.
If I hadn't already made a Ruth joke on the show, like, I was trying to think of a way to like make a pillar of salt slug joke.
Okay.
But
fine. You know, I'm prepared for Bible jokes here. So,
that's true. I mean, I wouldn't just be saying it just to like, get you. I was just trying to think of it in my head. If anyone out there can think of a good slug pillar of salt joke, feel free.
Yeah. I couldn't get past those guys. It's really counterintuitive actually, because the stab mode looks like they're crouched down. And I thought that I had to get them to kind of crouch down so I could jump over them. But if I knew that when they were like standing upright, they were kind of background elements. That's why I stopped. I was like, okay, it's getting up on time. I feel like I've gotten as much out of this as I need to. And then that's where I kind of called it quits.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't miss much.
Right.
I said just slugs.
Just slugs. Slugs just all slugs. The way down.
Yeah. Just slugs. Not fun slugs. Bad slugs.
Ooh, there's a word cloud of stuff from the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, God, Jesus, new people.
So you almost couldn't make that up. Like, that sounds about right.
Yep. It wasn't even a joke. I was just looking at this.
The God Jesus knew people.
Yeah, the God Jesus knew people. I filled up a note card, at least the front of the note card, with just stuff from the title screen, Gary.
Yeah, hit me with some.
Yeah. So if you look at the kind of hot tips section, there was a tip line for this where I assume you were charged $3.99 per minute to hear throw the dagger, dummy.
Yeah.
But there's a game called Bible Paint and Learn that's for ages 3 to 103, which I strongly doubt.
If your balls are up close or whether they're sagging down to your knees.
Yep. Whether or not your testicles have not yet descended or descended too much. whether you're at full mast, half mast.
Yeah. All points in between.
Yeah. Or you know, being burned ceremonially by the fire department. You are welcome for Bible Paint and Learn. Also, there's Chronicle of the Beginning Time, which...
It's like a JRPG.
I know, right?
Like Threads of Fate. Chronicle of the, or like Kingdom Hearts, actually. That sounds like a Kingdom Hearts subtitle to me.
Chronicle of the Beginning Time, 34.5/2.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a multimedia game without the expense of a CD drive. So full motion video. That's why I said full motion video at the start there. For Christians on a budget who have tithed.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You also had Journey to the Promised Land. Again,
okay.
Yeah, 1,200 Bible trivia questions.
Oh, nope.
Gary, how much do you know about the Bible? Have you heard the good news?
I've heard some of it.
Okay,
but apparently not enough.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not doing that, this guy made a bunch of other games, like that LGR guy covered some of them.
Oh,
which is cool.
I have one more actually, and this is continuing. These are three great titles: Quest of the Scroll Scholar.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an award winner from the Christian Computing Magazine Games Contest.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a niche magazine, but
yeah.
Okay.
It wins Paul Magazine's Game of the Year.
Yeah.
it's for people named Paul.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the other games this guy's made.
You named them all.
Oh, really?
Like he just talks about them more, which is great. It's a real good way to vicariously experience something that you don't want to experience.
Right.
Like this, which I didn't, you know, necessarily want to experience.
Alan, Superboy, yeah. Alan.
Yeah, Superboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked how all the high scores were biblical figures. So
I like that too. You're really competing against the tops.
Uh huh.
Like, should I win? Should I not? What's more humble? And also the fact that it keeps your high scores is a back of the box blurb for this game.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
no.
DVD special features include subtitles.
Yeah, special features include chapters. Great. This is pretty bad. It is functional, but this is pretty rough. But again, like, that DOS archive makes me scared because I don't want to play 1,000 clones of this.
Right.
Which, like, there's a lot of DOS platformers that feel a lot like this.
Yeah. But I was doing a little bit of, like, previewing on some of the DOS stuff that we've gotten in. I think that my bigger worry is that there's no real GameFAQs presence for a lot of these.
Yeah.
So we're cut off from our lifeline, Gary.
Yeah, this has nothing.
Yeah.
This has nothing. I'm literally... struggling for things to say about Onesimus.
Literally struggling. I did a search for arcade Christian gaming, trying to find, like, is this publisher still around? Is there any information that you can get on them? What came up was a Blogspot blog called Arcade Christian Gaming that has three entries, Gary.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He made it into the Blogspot era, though.
Like, well, I don't even think. I think this is just a guy who thought arcade would be a great name for a Christian video game, which is pretty. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I read to you at least part of this?
Yeah, I'm on my way there as well.
Yeah. So on Saturday, May the 28th of 2011, he posted like a review or a heads up for Deliverance, Moses and the Pharaoh's Courts. Here is another game that, if it was available on any console system, would be a hit.
It's a stretch.
Deliverance, Moses and the Pharaoh's Courts, is an action-adventure game that has awesome graphics, great gameplay, and a cool biblical storyline, complete with awesome video clips that most kids will be familiar with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, most kids. And there's also Guitar Praise after
you've heard of Guitar Praise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, that's the worst music. It's the DinoCast, which was one of my first podcasts. One of the last episodes we did in like the weird when I didn't live there anymore and would come back and record when I was back home was on religious video games.
Hmm.
And I don't know if I'm trying to think if I ever got that one edited. It might be like the lost episode that we recorded and I never like did anything with. Mm-hmm. But everybody who was on the panel got assigned or assigned themselves a religious video game.
Yeah.
And we all did one. And there's some real crazy shit in there. I didn't know it was Ark 3D, you know, the SNES, because I wanted to play something that was fun. And then there's also, that's when, you know, I first actually played because somebody did Left Behind Tribulation Forces,
ooh,
which is a really, really special game if you've never gone deep on that.
Yeah.
It's an RTS where if you play as the forces of the Antichrist, you literally can't win. And get to the end and just gives you a losing message. And if you are playing evil heathens, you train your units at colleges and medical schools, and whereas the good units train their units at, like, Christian medicine centers and churches.
And Kirk Cameron's house.
Yeah, it sets up church and college as diametrically opposite, as one being good and one being evil.
That's not too far off, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, from their conception. Like, that is really hilarious.
Yeah, but it just put on the page like that, it just... Mm-hmm.
It's super
dumb.
Gross. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it just, ugh.
Yeah. Also, what is it? Like, female units can only be nurses or some other support kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some gross sexism in that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at the tags. I love blog tags.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
whatever metadata people see fit to, like, sort things by. Christian game, guitar, hero, praise, striper. Calling out Striper. There is a lot of Striper music and guitar praise.
Of course. Like, wait, wouldn't there be? I always, whenever I'm doing that metadata stuff, I just put jokes in there that no one will ever see,
mm-hmm,
and that are just for me. Because like the very specific metadata is very funny. And that's like, it's a real good way to spend some time on IMDb. With the IMDb tags.
Oh yeah, looking for stuff that you know is somebody's fetish.
Yeah, like just like someone shitting in piano, you know, or something like that. Just like, well, there's just this one movie listed.
Fucked by a tree. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Somebody's masturbated to that.
Mm, furiously. Mm-hmm. I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. Furiously, but hopefully it brought them no joy.
Yeah, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, so Superboy Alan, mm-hmm, go fuck yourself for this.
Yeah.
This is go fuck yourself worthy. It's not the worst thing we've ever done. It's not the worst thing we're going
to
do today.
I like to. But, yeah, good God.
Yeah.
you know, I liked Jill. Did you encounter Jill of the Jungle in the Wild, like on a compilation?
Yeah. When I was young, for a little while, when my life was more upheavaled, I lived with my friend Doug, mm-hmm, who both my friend Derek, who I've talked about more on the show, and Doug, who I'm not really friends with anymore, had better PCs than I did and had more games. And I remember hanging out and playing Jill of the Jungle and Blackthorn on his computer in his spare room because I had to stay with them for a little while.
Hmm.
So those two, Blackthorn, Jill of the Jungle, and what is it? Abuse, which is another like weird PC, you know, platformer games. But Blackthorn's by Blizzard. Like, that's a weird, or Interplay, published by, made by Blizzard, something like that. Has some Blizzard DNA, I want to say. But everything else was just super weird. But yeah, I played Jill of the Jungle,
mm-hmm,
then. And it was fun at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a very similar story. Not so much living with him, but I just had a friend who had like 500 shareware games. Gary, this is going to surprise you. We live in the first episode of Watch Out for Fireballs. We established that we both lived in the same trailer park.
Yeah.
Wow, this is just coincidences upon coincidences. Also, my real name is Kaiser Sosa.
No.
Yeah, so Superboy Alan, he wrote in some stuff, a lot of which we've covered, you know, context that we've given. He goes on to talk about just how weird Christian games are in general, and he points us to a game called Jesus in Space.
Hmm.
Which is made by Wisdom Tree.
Wisdom Tree has some good games. Like some of those NES games are actually kind of fun, just because they're like blatant Zelda ripoffs, and they do fine at that.
Join Captain Paul Hammer, Lieutenant Stu Dent, and Shellbot the Brainy Robot on a great commission adventure to teach the gospel on newly discovered worlds.
Is Paul Hammer a pun, like Stu Dent is?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
I think it's a way for them. Oh God, I used to know what Bible Man's real name was. what his alter ego was.
Yeah, Bible Man. Wait, is there a Bible Man video game?
Oh, I'm sure there was. Just like there has to be some kind of Budweiser.
Yeah, the Bible Man video game, A Fight for Faith.
Well, what's it for?
It's probably, let me see.
Imagine an animated world.
I can hear that.
It is, it looks PC as shit. So. Oh my goodness. This is real special. Oh boy. Yeah, so we should probably just do this ourselves.
Just put that on the list.
Yeah. This looks really special. Yes, we have to do this. Not that Onesimus isn't special.
Yeah.
But for Wii.
For the Wii. Oh boy.
No, it's not. I was just it's not really excited. It just it looked like it from the Google link. Because it's categorized by Wii, but it looks like it's a PC game.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I was hoping
it'd be a Wii game though, just so you know, because Wii Shovelware is pretty uniquely bad.
Right.
But yeah, it's a CD-ROM. It's a computer game.
Yeah. So Miles Peterson is Bible Man's real name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Josh Carpenter was the second Bible Man after Miles retires. And
here's a 2-star review of Bible Man on Amazon.
Ooh.
2 stars by Timothy Perkin. No caps. No punctuation. Can't get to play on my Windows 8 computer, but want it anyway. 2 stars.
2 stars. Like the packaging is nice.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Well, I still kind of want it, so that's worth a star.
Yeah. Can I give you the names of some Bible Man villains? I know we're running just a little bit long, but I want to. This seems pretty.
Unless you want to save it.
Yeah, let's save it. Sorry.
We'll definitely do a Bible Man episode at this point.
Okay. So yes.
Yeah, I have a Bible Man like comic book.
Ooh.
Though my friends gave me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can talk some Bible Man.
Cool.
Anyway, Superboy Paul, go fuck yourself.
Superboy Allen.
Superboy Allen.
I guess Paul probably did something wrong today too.
Yeah. Hey, Paul. Allen, go fuck yourself. Everybody else, rate and review the show on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar mm-hmm. and patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah, tell your friends. I always like it when I see people spreading the word about the show.
If you do, tell them what the show actually is too.
Yes,
like not just what it is in the log line. Because at this point, I feel like if we start every episode being like we're gonna be real wacky, mm-hmm. that would be stupid.
Yes,
like somebody I wrote a thing about it because somebody was like, and it was a fair criticism. It was like half a fair criticism where they're like, the show isn't really what you guys say it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if we said what it is at the beginning, it wouldn't mm-hmm. be funny.
Right.
That would be, we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're coming in thinking like it's going to be like an in-depth examination of Onesimus, I could see being disappointed.
Right.
So, you know, yeah. Maybe just like say whatever you're going to say normally, but just wink.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you know, there's a reason we say recommend it to friends because you know, if a friend's going to be receptive to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what should they watch out until next time?
They should watch out for Hellfire, I guess. And the Hellfire Club. Mm, boy, that Emma Frost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yummy.
Black Queen, Selena. Leland. Harry Leland.
Yes. Talk British to me.
Yeah.
Or I guess like upstate New York or Connecticut or whatever.
Yeah, they're socialite
to me. Yeah.
They're New York, but there is a British branch.
Yeah.
And based on a real thing.
Hmm.
The actual Hellfire Club and the X-Men and the Avengers TV show both had Hellfire Club that looked like the Hellfire Club that we know and love today.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
Trivia.